Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday to you. A few minutes past 4 p.m. We have Holy Trinity, which is our final competitor in the 2024 DGS Catholic Fish Smackdown. I believe ICD, Phoebe's alma mater, is the leader in the clubhouse right now, but Holy Trinity could knock them off. We have Frank and Angie, and Father Jim is going to be repping Holy Trinity. Father, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And we're discussing a little bit off the air, like how long you've been with Holy Trinity, but just do an overall introduction of yourself and your team and then the church.
All right. I was born and raised in Centralia, went to the seminary at St. Minard, Indiana, got ordained in 1987, been ordained for, 30 some odd years now.
Long enough that it's hard for us to count. Yes.
And been part of Holy Trinity since 2017. And have been experienced with that fish fry for a long time when it used to be at St. Albert's. And Frank and Angie are part of the team. And
it's been going well, right?
Yeah. This year, the fish fries this year have been fantastic.
Yeah.
Going through 700, 900 pounds of fish. So we're doing quite well this year.
Very nice. And will you guys be doing a Good Friday or taking that off?
We are doing a Good Friday. We have the Good Friday service at 3, and then we have the fish fry starting after that, so 4 o'clock.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so our judges are my son Nick and George Mahey from St. Louis Magazine, Kurt Bellin, who is the owner and chef of Izumi, and who is going to be catering our after party next week. I'm excited. Yes. So what are the sandwiches called?
Oh, so the fruit sandwiches that I do, fruit sandos is one way to describe them, but definitely just call them fruit sandwiches. Gets people asking questions.
Nice.
For sure.
I like it. Nick, want to kick it off again?
Sure, absolutely. Everything was great. We start with taste. Go 9.5 on that. I loved everything I tasted. There was a baked cod and a fried cod. Both were excellent, as I understand it. The fried cod, the breading on that is sworn to complete secrecy.
I don't even know it.
You don't even know it?
I don't even know
it. Not even in confession has it been told.
Exactly. It's, well, I can't say.
That's very serious, yeah.
That's the kind of thing I would do. I would go in and confess, and I would give their secret recipe, because then the priest has nothing to do.
Go in. Pretend.
Yeah, I could do that.
Presentation, 9.6. Everything's beautiful. You can really tell that everything is homemade. I love that. And then variety, 9.6 again. There were, I don't even know how many homemade baked goods sitting on that table. Mac and cheese, coleslaw. Excellent spaghetti.
Good spaghetti.
Really good spaghetti.
I like the sweetness.
I do too. Yeah, that's sort of that's the classic, the fish fry sweet spaghetti.
So right.
Great overall.
Okay. Georgie.
I really like the cod, that breading recipe, whatever it is. There was a few terms going around in there. We'll get it before the day's out, I think. But I'm told it goes all the way back to the St. Albert days, which is 60 years ago, which is that's a good old recipe, just like the spaghetti's the same way. And, you know, it shows these tried and true items. The cod was just really good.
Southern Illinois fried fish. Classic.
It was tasty. Everything, like Nick said, was homemade. I counted 4 desserts, chocolate cake, caramel cake, 3 pies, an oatmeal cake. Hats off to you guys for that. I mean, it was, you know, spaghetti was great. Coleslaw was great. I love that you've got TVs at your place. So whether you come tonight or you come next week, you have a little Final Four action with your fish. And I was told something that you guys do that I don't see in a lot of places. You do a lot of bulk fish. A lot of people buying pounds and pounds of fish for their family, and they'll buy a quart of coleslaw and a quart of spaghetti and go have like a little family style meal there. Instead of everybody having their own $12 or $13, meal there. So I just think that's a really cool way to do it, very community-oriented, and I like that.
Okay.
So
your scores?
Anyway, taste, 9.8. Presentation, 9.6. Variety, you had a lot of stuff there, onion rings and all kinds of goodies, 9.8.
Okay, very good. Kurt?
All right, so variety, 9.5. Taste, a great 9.6. And the presentation, that's the thing that stuck with me the most. 9.7, definitely that family style aspect is something you just don't see these days. And so just being able to imagine, you know, families going out to their local fish fry, getting a bunch of fish and sharing a family style, that's just a really good, really good vibe to hear. And, in this day and age when everybody's got their own individual, TV dinner,
Right.
It's just nice to see or imagine a family chowing down and breaking some bread. It's very, very nice.
So as chefs, Kurt, and I'm going to include you in there as well, George,
I think you
have earned that moniker. Do you guys do much of the cooking at home?
I do all the cooking at home.
Do you? Look at you.
I cook. My wife cleans. We stay in our corner, and life is good, man. We both just love it to death. And she can cook, but I'm not a great cleaner. I'm one of those guys that, what did she call it? You straighten, you don't clean.
Yeah.
There's a big difference, which I have now learned. But anyway, that's another story for another time.
Okay. How about you?
I cook most all the time. One thing about being a quote-unquote chef is often a good sign of that is usually like them having to jump in and redo even if it's toast or something microwaved or something where it's like, you know, have you ever tried doing this or that? So it just ends up with me doing all the cooking all the time, which I am completely fine with.
Yeah.
So it's just a very nice... A nice distribution of labor, if you will.
So, in your becoming a chef, like George is old enough that he had bosses that were like the Gordon Ramsay throwing pots and pans, and you admitted that you were could be like that.
Yeah,
and you're talking about like tapping brother on the shoulder, saying like, "Let me finish the French toast."
Yeah,
like, did you have that coming in? Did you have a mentor who was like that?
I mean, kind of more the old school fellas would get in your face. And that was kind of the old school toxic sort of environment that, you know, in the newer wave places, even older chefs that are you know, looking to evolve, they don't have that much yelling in the face going on.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And it's a balance. It's a hard thing to say because, you know, the best teacher is failure and best teacher is pain. So sometimes just knowing that, you know, if you mess up, there's accountability. I think that's nice. But of course, you know, going too far with some of the environments
I've
worked in.
In Japan, Rach, what's the joke? What do I call the sushi movie?
Hero Love
Sushi. Yeah, I was saying it wrong. I know. I embarrassed my son.
It's been over a decade since you've been watching this movie.
I know. But the brother loves sushi. It's so fascinating. Like, the one guy, they didn't let him touch the fish for 10 years. Like, you master the rice, then you can touch the fish. Like, is that pretty common attitude in Japan?
Yeah. I mean, because a lot of the setups are, you know, kind of, there's like a couple full-timers, which are usually the owners, owner chefs. And they'll usually do most everything, it seems like, in a lot of these places. And you know, there are part-timers, but there's a lot of paying your dues in that system still. And that's just a result of having just very small shops physically and small staffs. And so there's less of a, you know, a push to just expand. It's a lot more of trying to develop things, but sometimes, you know, a lot of these places just have one location. Yeah. They'll be stuck in that.
And you're not going to get recipes out of these guys right away. You got to pay your dues and earn your dues.
Yeah.
If you get them at all, they really got to earn their trust. Am I right?
That's generally speaking. Yeah, that seems what the seems to be the setup. In just that, there's a big difference between the kind of the part timers that'll come in and maybe do the front of house stuff, and you know, the 2-3 people that are there every single day doing most all the prepping, all the same thing again and again and again. It seems to be, generally speaking, the setup of a lot of more traditional places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Father, one more time on time, location, all the good stuff.
Location is Holy Trinity Catholic Church at 505 Fountains Parkway, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Time from 3:30 to 7. Tonight, besides the TVs in the dining area,
smart.
We have a concert going on in the church, free of charge, with Brian Woods, a pianist, and he's a native St. Louisan. And so that's going on at 7 tonight. And then another invite for next week's Good Friday.
Lovely. Andrew, good scores. I'm doing the math in my head, and I think they didn't do enough to knock ICD off. Am I right?
Unfortunately, they have fallen just short.
But just short, yeah.
Very, very respectable showing. Very, very good.
Very nice.
Delicious, delicious food.
So thank you to Holy Trinity. Thank you. Who else do we have? St. Stephen's.
St. Stephen's.
Pillar.
Queen of All Saints. Our Lady of the Pillar.
But it is Immaculate Conception Darden's first win ever. Congratulations to them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. Quick break. Right back. DGS. Happy Friday. George, George Mahey staying around to talk a little food and wine with us. So your latest podcast is about our topic today, which is sports bars. And where do people find that podcast?
How's that? Yeah, isn't that a smart idea?
That's really smart.
Yeah. Arch
no,
Eats.
You're killing it.
It's called Arch Eats. Wherever you know you can find podcasts, you can find Arch Eats. It pops right up. Even it's not hard to find.
Yeah.
And boy, I've been. Rachel, you know, you gotta speak the gospel of your podcast to everybody that's listening, and I don't miss an opportunity. But the good news is people are listening to it and they're liking it, and I'm knock on wood.
Dude, it's self-policing. It's like Seinfeld said about comedy. If you think you're funny and you tell jokes on stage and people don't laugh, you're not funny.
Yep.
And if you do a podcast and no one listens, no one wants to hear it.
Yep.
They'll listen or they won't. So congrats.
Yeah, thank you. Because you know, we didn't know. And Cheryl and I look at each other and go, people really want to listen to this stuff? I don't know. But they do.
Yeah.
So we're...
So you're heading to a sports bar tonight.
Heading to a sports bar tonight. Was in a sports bar last night. I love this whole March Madness thing. Yeah. So it was fun to be able to talk about some sports bars. And, you know, when we do this, we try not to, you know, we at least try to get the list together before we start calling it. And there's a ton of places that you could, that I guess, qualify as sports bars. And one of the criteria that we were that we were talking about was it's not a true sports bar unless they're playing... You know, the sound. If they're not playing the audio from that
it's window
game,
dressing.
Yeah, it is window dressing.
Yeah.
And there aren't a lot of places that do that, really, that I've found. I was in the sports page last night, and they do, and it was great. I was sitting right under a speaker, and the big game is on the big screen,
Old
and that's
school.
The one. They've got all the other games playing, too, and everybody's just having a great time. So that's one. And one that people don't maybe think about as much is Lester's out in Ladue.
Love it.
They used to have, I think they started with like 65 TVs, and now they've got, they increased the size of them, so now there's, you know, there's 60, but still.
Lester's might be my pick. I was just there this week. That might be my pick for upscale sports bar.
Yeah.
Because the food's rocking.
And the food's rocking. You get, you know, the corned beef is great. It's not, you know, Carnegie Deli style, you know, thick sandwiches, but it's really good food. The chicken noodle soup is really good.
Mm-hmm.
The matzo ball soup is good. But the thing about Lester's, and you may do the same thing I do, I tend to hang out in the bar, but if you go into the restaurant and go into those booths, they've got the little, you know, a little sound box there that you can dial up one of six games and the audio plays in your booth.
Mm, the best.
That's really cool, and I don't know any place else that does that. And you know, if they're playing, you know, I don't know, six or eight games, you can only get six of them. But still, your chances are you're going to get the
booth,
one.
You're fine.
Anyway, it's so that's a great place. And the other place, you're talking about upscale sports bars, the other place that I like is this place called The Pitch. And Rachel, you know, we saw each other there that one night. And what's cool about that place is they've got all these like little groupings along the perimeter with nice rugs thrown down, and you've got leather couches and leather seats, and you know they I think you can reserve them on off times, but during March Madness it's first come first serve. So if you want it, but it's like sitting in your living room, and you control your own TV, and people are waiting on you, and it's really cool. Yes, it's a little upscale, if you will, but they've got all the components.
Do you have any really divey cool. kind of places?
Not really.
Like, would you consider Sportsman
Park?
Yeah,
maybe Bomber O'Brien's, I guess, is kind of a you know, and that's a great place. Mm-hmm. You know, and they've got a golf simulator there, too, if you want
like
to go
a little
do something
patina
else.
On a place. Like a little layer.
A little stank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, there's, I like O.B. Clark's.
Oh. Always is the best.
And there's just so many, you know. Another one people don't think of, everybody, Ballpark Village, Ballpark Village, sure, right, I get it. It's got that humongous TV.
Yeah.
But in that same complex is Sports and Social. And it's a little bit more laid back.
Yeah.
If you don't want that wild bullpen craziness, which a lot of people do, that's why they do it. But if you want something that's a little more civilized and where you can, you know, hear your buddy talk, it's in the same complex, and a lot of people forget about
Wheels
it.
Wheels, 30 seconds, what do you look for?
For
in a sports bar?
Mostly it's the number of games that I can see. Like, I want to be able to see, no matter where I'm sitting, at least two or three of the biggest games at any given time. That's number one. Number two is how good is the food?
Yeah.
I mean, I can go anywhere to watch games. I can watch games at home if the food's really good. That's what takes me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, have fun.
Yeah. And Mulligan's Grill, too. Have you ever been out there in Chesterfield?
Mm-mm.
It's a great bar. But they've got little teeny chicken wings, and everybody criticizes them for that because everybody likes the big honking ones.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I'll try them just to see. You know what? They're pretty good. Hmm. And I was surprised, and you know, kind of dainty little things you eat. But you know what? I'll go back for more. But just remember, if you think you were going to order 9 wings,
yeah,
order the 18 because gotcha. They're genie.